Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. It's the 16th of July, 2020, week 20 of the COVID-19 lockdown, and halfway through the first real month of summer, which means, damn it, summer is almost over. Get out there, socially distanced, but enjoy it while you can. It happens the same way every year, eh, Dave?
I know, but it's like... Right about now, I'm starting to think, I'm like, you know, it's almost too late for people to start prepping for the holidays. So
that too. here's the thing that really gets me. And this is like, especially for independent SEOs, this is like the work from home nightmare. You want to have a good summer, but at the same time, you got your responsibilities, you got your bills to pay, you got your mortgage or your rent to pay, your car payments, whatever it is, eh? And so, like, you got to work like a dog, because let's face it, that's what we all got to do to make a living. And you want to get a summer vacation, you want to go fishing, you want to go boating, you want to, you know, go out to the islands or whatever it is you do in the summer, and you're going to do it next week, and you're going to do it next week, and you're going to do it next week, because there's always more time, because, you know, summer's endless, right? Until it's not.
Right.
So like SEOs, seriously, work-life balance, friends, get out there and enjoy yourself a little bit, because I mean we have pedantic, horrible, like tedious jobs. Get out there and enjoy yourselves. There, that's my public service announcement for the day.
That's great. It's obviously great advice.
Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, brother, how you doing today?
I am doing just fantastic. It's been a hectic few days, as you call it. It's an SEO, right? Like, it's just day after day after day of just, there's so much going on. This is probably the most behind. I've been about 48 hours that I have been behind on trying to keep up with the news. Like, I keep trying to catch up with my RSS feeds, and I keep getting behind. I know we'll be talking about one of the stories where, and it keeps stopping me because I hit it, and it's from a few days ago, the announcement, and I go, oh, right, I need to test this out. And I get about 5 minutes in, and then the phone rings, or an email comes in that's like, you need to answer this now, or I should just go take 15 minutes, don't check your email. But it's pretty hectic. So you're right. I mean, it's hard in the summer. It's like, I want to get out there. It's a beautiful blue sky. It's, I don't know, I'll try and convert. It's like high 70s, low 80s right now.
And you're stuck inside working.
I'm stuck inside working. But you know what? In this day and age, I am counting my lucky stars on that. Like I am as annoying as it might be sometimes, I am grateful to the clients and peers that I do have around me that are working, asking each other work, and I am at least grateful to have that opportunity. But I do look forward to a day of getting out in the sun, maybe this weekend one day.
As soon as this show is over, and I take one more client call, I got a client call an hour after the show. I'm heading north. I'm going fishing. I'm not back until Tuesday. So, friends out there on social media, if you see me gone, don't worry about it. I'm not curled up dead in the corner or nothing. I'm gone fishing. Okay. So, have you seen the film that was released? You know Mike King's outfit in New York, High Pole Rank.
Of course I do, yeah.
You see the cartoon that they released the other day?
I have not. I have not seen it, and I'm looking forward to it. I know you posted the link, and I was like, oh my, but I haven't had a chance like everything else to.
It's on technical SEO, so I know. It's technical, so like your eyes start to glaze over it. It sounds really boring, but you know what? It's fascinating. It's a fun video. Google gets cast as the clown or the Joker, and Mike Icon King, living up to his nickname, gets cast as the aging Batman. but you know what? They made a fun half hour long video out of how iPollRank looks at technical SEO, and you may or may not agree with stuff that's in it. But because you get five SEOs in a room, and you got five different SEO solutions, maybe 10 different SEO solutions.
I was going to say if at least five.
But just for sheer entertainment value, iPullRank.com/runtime. Pull yourself a fresh cup of coffee, grab a drink, grab some popcorn, roll a doobie if that's your sort of thing. Sit back, watch, and enjoy.
I look forward to it.
What else we got? There was some like really funny things that came out from Google today, or from Google this week. Eh? Did you see the little snippets that like Mueller or Gary Eves were the little snippets of wisdom that John Mueller or Gary Eves were dropping this week?
Which ones?
Well, luckily we have Barry Schwartz over at Search Engine Roundtable to track all this stuff for us. Okay. I don't know why you would do this, but. John Mueller came out and said it's a bad idea to block Googlebot from all your 404s. So obviously somebody had a problem where they had a whole bunch of 404s, and they figured the smart thing to do was to block Googlebot from accessing all their 404s once they reached a certain number of missing or out to lunch pages.
So the idea then is rather than fix the problem, they should hide it from Google. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's what I got from it, yeah. And that just makes you sort of sit and go, well, why the hell don't you just fix the problem? Like,
yeah.
What's weirder is why is John giving the advice, don't hide your URL, don't hide these 404s, when he could just say, fix the damn problem? Here's one that weirded me out, another along the same lines. It's okay to keep a whole bunch of 302 redirects up. Oh, and I'm fine. Technically, they're not going to cause you any problems.
Right.
It just it moves the signal from URL 1 to URL 2. Mm-hmm. But the 302 is like the temporary redirect, and the 301 is the permanent redirect. And I don't know. I mean, like, and this is I've been clearly mistaken all this time because I've always thought it was a mark of good housekeeping.
You know what? I think that's what it comes down to. And we're getting into, like, we've got you, me, I know Terry will be joining us shortly. So we've got three sort of veterans in the SEO industry. So I'm pretty sure we'll all agree here that I remember, I think it was John, it might've been Gary, but a number of months back making the sort of declaration that yes, once a 302 has been sitting around long enough, we sort of changed the signal to a 301. Right. Okay, fair enough. So I get that technically what he's saying right now is potentially correct, where you can do this. But I think the three of us, and probably the best advice for the audience, is remove any variables, right? Like, just that's just my dot every I, cross every T. If you care at all about technical SEO, you do that. Turn it to a 301, and then you don't have to think about it again, right? Like, just do it right, then you don't have to care anymore.
That's how I've always thought of it. But again, as you said, and I think this is a lot like crappy links, like the way Google says they're treating crappy links now by just not caring, by ignoring them. By the way, I'm not entirely convinced that's true, but that is what Google says they're doing. I don't know. I mean, like, again, technically a 302 isn't going to screw you up. It just looks weird when you look at your broken link reports and stuff. It just looks funny.
Well, okay. Yeah. And I mean, I think I just like to do things right. A 302 is temporary, and I use them for that purpose. If I'm moving something over here, but I know eventually I'm moving it over here, right? Sometimes that happens. We're going to a subdomain while the tech is built to move it to a folder, something like that, like where there's actually a reason that's what we do. And
I'm going to suggest being anal is good for being an SEO.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last weird one from Mueller this week. And again, this makes perfect sense. Like, I'm not disputing the advice. I'm just wondering why the hell he has to give it in the first place. If you remove pages from your site, it's really, really smart to remove them from your sitemap. Seriously, why are they telling people this?
Yeah, I think, and I guess it sort of piggybacks off their, you should have automated and don't bother doing manual. Like, this would only happen if you had a manual, not an automated. Now, something that I do disagree with, and it is based on something that John said, and I disagree with it from what they're doing, and I'm actually launching, we're merging two domains for a client on Friday, and we're going to be using this, is we are putting up a temporary sitemap of all of the old pages on the old domain and we're going to leave that sitemap up there for a couple weeks.
Sure.
Just to make sure that, yes, they see it. Yes, they pick up the 404, like, or the 301, whatever. Yeah. They're like, I want them to hit everything. Like, if we're removing it, I want them to know that that content's gone. If we're like, whatever we're doing, I want them to get that purged from one and move to another. Yeah, for past that, I can see that you wouldn't want it left there forever. I could see that being a potential drain on your crawl budget, because Google is going to follow this 404, and that is going to take time, right? They're going to check this 404, and you know, sort of erode your crawl budget. So,
well, and also this was just one of those housekeeping things that in the back of my head again, maybe I'm just like an anal old man. As I'm getting older and older and older, I'm just getting more and more concerned about minutitude. But like, it just seems like a good housekeekeeping thing. If you remove the reference to it.
Yeah. Get that 500 code off my lawn.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. We got up. By the way, we should have told the listeners at the very beginning of the show, we got a special guest coming up, Terry Van Horn. Webmaster T, one of the originals, is going to be here in a few minutes. Got time for a couple more stories. There was the predictive purchase and churn metric that you were playing with Google Ads. What do you think?
Yeah. Full disclosure to the audience, I have launched into to sort of experimenting with this probably 5 times in the last 3 days since the announcement was made. That it was rolling out, and all 5 times I've been stopped by something, be it a call right before this show. Like, I started about 15 minutes before the show. I'm like, I got to get this finished up because it looks really, really cool. But basically what the announcement is, and it will be really, really cool, whether that's out of the gate or whether this is something we have to wait for, basically through analytics, we can set up audiences based on, basically what the machine learning systems at Google are defining as a predicted end goal. So we can go, I want people that will convert. They are likely converters. They are likely churners. They are likely, like, based on specific criteria within 7 days, outside of 7 days. And Google's machine learning systems, based on all that they know, which is more than we get to see, right? Like, we know that Google knows more about users than we get to see in analytics. So they're using their systems to sort of assess, okay, what are all the signals that lead to conversions? And then we can start to create an audience, which you can then, why I'm excited is, yeah, okay, that'll be fine to see what they are in analytics, but moving that audience over into Google Ads, that's where I start to get excited and go, yeah, Google can respond faster than I can. I suspect this is going to work a lot better on audiences that are a lot larger, like, that it'll work better for our larger clients with big budgets and lots of conversions than it will for, you know, small little $500 a month and 8 conversion kind of websites. But I do think it's going to be really, really interesting. There are some other capabilities on reporting that I think will also shed some light, but I haven't had a chance to fully investigate those, but where we'll be able to see more information on the sort of moves between, you know, different users, how the different users are between webs and applications, like your website and applications and stuff like that. It's, I think we're going to get a lot more data, but it's actually the capability of having an audience based on data I will never see because Google won't show it to me, but still being able to use that to augment your ads. I think that's going to be quite telling. For people setting it up, keep your eye on it very, very closely, because I also suspect Google's got a big learning curve, as they do with most things. So the next 6 months are going to be, my prediction is the first 6 months are going to be pretty lackluster. But if you do find lackluster results right now, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just, you know, keep it in observation mode, or don't use it for your ad augmentation. But do keep it around, because it will
give it a while, and Google will either improve it or they'll just take it out back behind the barn and shoot it.
Well, exactly. I launched in with max conversions on some campaigns, right? Where you can just let Google just do what they can do to maximize conversions. And within a couple months, I was like, nope, hate this. Get rid of it all. Google knows nothing. They are wasting so much money. For some reason, something triggered, and it was on one of the campaigns that had failed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this another kick at the can. I'm going to give Google another kick at the can. They come up with a few announcements, and it's like gangbusters for the client. Like, it took them from $35 cost per acquisition down to like $28 cost per acquisition. same budget. So we were just getting a lot more, basically a lot more acquisitions for free. So they did it. Didn't work on all the campaigns, but it worked on some. So worth a try again.
Good. I'm going to ask you about that next week or the week after. Okay, we're going to have to grow to a break. Stories we didn't touch. The blue checkmark story at Twitter. Yesterday, they got attacked. The attack seems to be over. 30% of users click first result at Google. Wall Street Journal is alleging Google favors YouTube and videos over competing platforms. And Jeff Ferguson penned a really cool article on SEO studies. Yeah, he actually went out and got a statistician to vet several critically acclaimed articles.
Yep.
It was printed over at Search Engine Journal the other day. Worth the read. Yeah, you know what? Absolutely worth the read. I really want to actually get Jeff on sometime to talk about this article. But before we can do anything, and before we can talk to Terry Van Horn, we got to take a break here on Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. So, friends, you were listening to Webcology. It is the 16th of July, 2020. Stick around. We're coming back with Terry Van Horn after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
Looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Open your windows for a breath of fresh air. Webmasterradio.fm.
And hey, Mac.
We're here for you, too.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology. Only on Webmasterradio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology on Webmasterradio.fm. It's the 16th of July, 2020. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And we are joined by the one and only, one of the originals. One of the guys that both Dave and I read when learning about SEO ourselves, Webmaster T, Terry Van Horn. Brother man, welcome to Webcology. Terry, you're still muted. Okay, well, Terry's there. I swear to goodness, I can see him in the video part of the chat, although this being radio, y'all can't see him.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
There he is. This happens every show. Terry, welcome to Webcology. It's great having you here, man.
I'm doing great, thanks.
One of the reasons, I mean, there's a bunch of reasons to have you on this week, but one of the reasons is the podcast that you and other SEO legend Bill Slosky started last week. You were looking at I wouldn't say transition because we've made the transition, but you know the move to entities in the search world. How was your first broadcast with Bill?
Oh, it's awesome. We had a good guest though. Dixon Jones is always good to have on, and he's also a recent. Come in very interested in the semantic web and
I dare say with within links, absolutely. Dixon's a fun guest to have. He has that wonderfully educated accent. You're never quite sure whether to call him Sir Dixon or not.
Our American friends don't have to, but we're Canadians. We're kind of obliged to. How was the first podcast though, with Bill? Like,
it's like putting on a pair of old shoes, Jim. Me and Bill have been doing podcasts
worked together for years,
on the dojo for years, and I was doing after I retired. Which I guess I should mention that I retired working with clients, and the only real connection I still had with SEO was doing the podcast with Jim and our hangout, excuse me, with Bill and Ammon.
Well, yeah, the last time we spoke a couple of months ago, I mean, not before last week, last time we spoke was a couple of months ago, and you were using words like retirement, hangout. This might have been before COVID, so you were talking about watching baseball and just relaxing. And now you're diving back in. You're talking about organizing an SEO conference in Toronto. Yes. You've got the podcast that you've got going with Bill Slosky and other guest hosts you're gonna be having coming up in the future. What happened to this retirement plan?
I ran out of stuff to watch on Netflix, Prime, three or four networks, Jim.
Okay, so if there was a 24/7
doing SEO, it's hard to fill up all that time.
If there had been a Blue Jays season this year, we mightn't be benefiting from these new seminars and these new podcasts. Then,
yeah, or hockey season. Yeah, that could be true.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're going to be getting our hockey season. I'm just not sure how much we're going to enjoy it. Who was
it? Think positive, Jim. Already going down Bay Street in my mind.
I am thinking positive. Ryan Jones from Sapien made this this graph tracing all the trades, wins, losses, and activity of the in the 2019-2020 season. And he's got the Avs to win. He's done this a couple times using a predictive model based on Google's idea that a link is a vote. He's used this a couple times to correctly predict the Stanley Cup champion. He's working on getting his article published. Spoiler alert, according to Ryan Jones, the Avs are going to win the Cup this year.
The who?
The Avs, Colorado Avalanche. You don't feel good about that, I can tell. How are you feeling about...
Is that Siv still in net for them that used to play for Toronto? Oh, what was his name? Plays for Detroit now. No, he doesn't play for them.
Well, I was about to jump. I had a great segue lined up and everything.
oh, sorry about that.
No worries, man. No worries. You've been in SEO longer than Dave and I. Again, I remember when I was just getting into the industry, I was reading your material to learn what I was doing. How do you feel about the light speed changes that we're seeing happening at Google in the last 5 years since artificial intelligence has been brought into the mix?
Well, I would say in the last 2 years, SEO is a total different game from when I started. Okay. Just the fact that when you go from phrase-based ranking to entity extraction, whole new ball game. Here's your first real clue that everything has changed. When the SEO contest wins with nothing but ipsum lorem and the correct phrases or correct concepts and entities on the page, that tells you a lot.
An SEO contest. I missed this.
That was a few years back.
Okay.
And it was when they first started the entity stuff, and even back then, but even more so now that they're using entity extraction instead of,
phrase-based
matching.
I wonder how much Ipsos I always get that wrong, but I wonder how much fake Latin content is actually out there.
Probably lots. What that tells you, though, is if you have all the proper concepts and entities on the page, doesn't matter what the rest of it says. You can be as salesy as you want. You can pretty much say whatever you want. It isn't going to affect the rankings much.
Love this. So we're learning from Terry that, because I remember good old spamming back in the sort of early to mid 2000s, back in the strings days. And now we move into the things days. And it turns out, from what I'm hearing, Terry, you can still spam it. You just need to make sure the entities you put on there are in place, whereas it used to be the phrases.
You know how you actually optimize a copy of a website now? You go and get, and this is why I kind of retired. Okay, Dave, Jim, and I worked together on a project, and he knows that I did this for a few pages. I took the top 10 results for the targets, put them in a text editor, and took out every entity and concept that related to those keywords and built the pages like that. It took me a full day to do it, but every page I brought up started on the first page of Google with no links or nothing.
Wow. Okay, that sounds interesting. And now it's funny because we're actually working on a entity calculation tool right now, just internally. I was actually just
writing
stuff for my developer, and that's interesting because I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I need to put in keyword density for entities now and get that built in.
That's nothing. Yeah, you know what? If you're building a tool, go and look at InLinks because he's already doing all of that. When you pull up a page in his tool, it tells you every entity that is on your page, that's on all the other pages, how many of the other pages have that entity or concept in their pages. It's like what took me a whole day to do on my own, I did like in 15 minutes on his site. And see, what he's doing is he's taking the knowledge graph that Google has and he's augmenting it. So, you know, if you're building a tool like his, that's like trying to build a link tool to compete with Majestic. That's kind of what.
It's interesting because I haven't taken a look at InLinks in
definitely. Number,
like it's been a good while.
You know what? We had Dixon on in February.
Oh, did you? Okay.
We did.
They're working hard on that.
Yeah, InLinks is a really different beast today than it was back in February.
Oh, yeah. 100%
sure different.
A good plug to our audience on InLinks there.
Hey, I'm going to push good products when I see them. I don't, you know, Dixon's a good guy and everything, but if I thought his program was crap, I'd tell everyone. You know that.
But you've always been so subtle, Terry.
InLinks is going to be an important.
Oh, I see it as in the toolbox. If you're doing the kind of, like, to me, keyword research is going to, you know, a tool and getting the keywords so I know how to prioritize my work. That's it. That's all keyword research is good for now.
So Google's made innumerable core updates in the last not innumerable. There's a finite number. I just don't remember what it is. But they've made several core updates in the last 6 to 8 months. After each core update, either Danny Sullivan or John Mueller or some spokesperson from Google comes out and says, well, we did this and there's no optimization you can do to deal with it. How do you feel when you hear a statement like that?
There's always something you can do. There's something always you can undo, usually.
Okay, so core update happened. Okay.
One of the things that people have not realized yet. And I'll take an example. So on the in the dojo group, there's a guy asking, why is this page ranking above me? It doesn't have responsive design. It doesn't have schema. It doesn't. Well, a lot of that stuff is about design and not really ranking. Schema does not boost your rankings. If anybody tells you that, walk away, because that's not what they do. What schema does is it takes the confusion out of the page. And for a long time, that's been one of the hardest things to do in SEO, is to pinpoint what it is you're trying to do on a page. Google gets confused really easy. It's autistic.
Well, given Google's scale, that's the way I always tell people. Like, Google's dealing with as many entities as there are stars in the sky. Like, help Google figure out the directions it's going in.
And then all the associations between those entities. People don't understand. That's probably as important or more important for optimizing the pages, getting those associated entities in, because that's what verifies that that's what the page is about.
See, I find this just hilarious because you've hit, and we end up in this conundrum so often as SEOs, because schema isn't a ranking factor. That's what you just said. Like, schema, it doesn't help you with rankings, but it does clarify to Google what a page is about. And that clarification will help Google understand your content, and understanding that might help your rankings.
but you cannot draw the straight line between doing this action here and seeing that reaction there.
Right.
That's why we get paid the big money.
The other thing is,
it depends.
It is worth noting. Yeah. The other thing that schema,
if it was easy, everyone would be doing.
It is worth noting for webmasters listening. And the other thing schema can be used for is affecting how the search results look on the search result page. So it can be a deciding factor.
You know, they're right now pulling pulling data out of videos and putting it in the knowledge vault. They just started doing that. I read about it the other day.
Unsurprising.
Those are being attached to rich snippets. That's why you're seeing video rich snippets. Now, that's not a ranking factor, but having a video in the SERP is going to help you get more clicks. So, you know, you have to look at the whole picture. It isn't always about ranking. And that's why, you know, I've always said the best time that I spend on strategy is the time I spend on a SERP looking at it, not on a tool looking at, you know, what they say is on the SERP, but actually on the SERP and experiencing it. Seeing what a user sees is important.
Terry, you've been around for as long as anybody in the industry, and you've seen change. How long after a major change should it take for a good SEO team to figure it out and start incorporating the new factors in their practice? It's a weird question, but I think I'm asking this because I got asked this by a client the other day.
We actually dealt with this at that one client we were working on together. I, for months, tried to figure out why we were losing rankings in one area. And finally, come down to, it was the speed of the website.
Okay.
And it downloaded fine in Toronto, because that's where the ISP was, and that's where I was.
And but then we're all looking at it from, yeah.
Yeah. And so then I started testing it in Mumbai. Then I tested Vancouver and said, oh, now I understand. 24 seconds to load the page in Mumbai, India.
For what it's worth, by the way, audience out there, this business was a local business targeting what it thought was a local audience.
We knew it was also, but it was mainly local, but we did also because of their business.
The nature of the business, yeah.
Yeah, of India and other.
Well, the reason I'm making that point is we had made an assumption that was a relatively safe assumption looking at the business, but on a little bit more research, showed that speed made the difference here in Mumbai, in San Francisco, in London.
Yeah.
Not just in Toronto.
In regards to your last question, all the updates that Google were doing at that time, remember, that also was giving us problems because we would think that possibly that was the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kind of chase the wrong, make the wrong moves. Didn't actually help.
Well, so there is a fable for everybody out there in SEO land.
Hey, this even happens. The best, I'm not saying I'm the best, but even really experienced people can overlook small things and they become big things.
Or you get the idea in your head that this is the solution. You pursue it as long as you can until you decide that that's not the solution any further. Then you pursue a new one.
Well, and it was also that we knew that there is a problem with the backbone of the website and that they were going to go for changing that. So we had to go another route. One other thing I wanted to mention, when you were talking about 302s earlier,
yeah.
Watch for a new one because a temporary redirect in version 1.1 of HTTPS is 303, and some servers has started to send them. I found this out because I'm on Azure, and I started getting these 303s, and I'm saying, well, what the hell is this? I've never seen this one before.
Jesus Christ, Terry, it's been 20 years. You're still teaching us stuff.
And so I also was finding that Google was having trouble. They actually thought it was a 500 error on those pages when it first came out. There was an update to IIS, and that's when we noticed it started happening. I've seen that before on IIS. It has its own way of doing redirects. And when you're working on it, you have to know that and do everything at the page level. I don't trust the server too much. If I'm doing a 301, I'll write the header on the page. That's the way I know it happened. Same with a 404. I'll write the response code in the head of the page. So I know that Google got the right response code.
That's what years of experience will do for you. Okay, we have to leave it at that for a few minutes. We got to take a break here on Webcology, on Webmaster Radio. Now, Terry, can we get you to stick around for through the commercial and come back again?
Sure.
After the commercial? Excellent. Friend, you are listening to Webcology on Webmaster Radio.fm. It is the 16th of July, 2020. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beatsock Internet Marketing. Stick around. We have Terry Van Horn coming back after these messages.
So, guys, do you mind we talk about the directory, SEO Pro? I'm opening it back up. I want to get some people signed up shortly.
Look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY Podcast System within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Everyone, welcome back to Webcology and WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 16th of July, 2020, 20 of the COVID lockdown. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Dave Davies from BeatStack Internet Marketing, and we're joined by SEO legend Terry Van Horn from, from SEO Pros, the one of the original SEO directories, which, Terry, I understand SEOPros.org, you're reviving it.
Yeah, I'm putting it, taking all the old ASP programming and turning it into PHP.
Yay, fun.
Yeah, no, actually, it's pretty easy to convert.
Why? Why are you bringing back SEO Pros at this time?
Because it's always been my favorite site of all the ones I own. That's, it's ranked pretty good in the past. And that's what I'm also doing is testing out my skills again. I want to be number one I want to knock certain people out of the number one ranking.
Okay.
Starts with an M. Ends with a Z.
Does it have an O in the middle somewhere?
Oh, somewhere, yeah.
Okay, so what can users, if I was to go to SEO Pro and get myself a membership there, what as an SEO professional, what can I expect?
You'll get RFPs and you'll be in a directory that will show expertise because I'm going to be allowing people to put their OMCP credentials on the website. Also, if I can figure out how to embed their Google reviews, it will be a way to get your Google reviews into the cert again. Remember, you can't get Google will only allow third-party sites and that includes their own widgets to get your review into the cert. Well, I'm thinking, if I can figure out how to embed that information.
It's been a rough time in the last, I'd say, 5 months for a lot of SEOs. There were some who just business has just gone gangbusters. And there are other SEOs for whom, business clients just sort of dried up. By helping with, by posting RFPs, are you going to help? I mean, RFPs drive me crazy. There's so much time you invest in answering an RFP. Are you going to be able to, like vet them or shave time off the reply process?
Oh, for sure. That's why I did it, doing it. Even in the past when I did it, I always reviewed the RFP before it went out to the SEOs. I don't want to waste people's time because I know that's why they'll leave the directory. In time, they left because of Google's directory clampdown, but that's another story.
And which was actually a really dumb story.
Yes, anybody who left, Google continued to not only index that website, which is a PR7, but they were following the links, and people were going to the pages because I had counters on them, and I could actually see that thousands of visits were being made to some of these pages of consultants, and yet they left.
So, past being predictor of future, you saw that they were individual consultants were getting traffic through SEO pros to their profile pages.
I know it.
So, how much is it going to be to sign up?
$50 a year.
Okay.
$25 for a review, so $75. Together, again, shot at the RFPs. I'll be doing a monthly newsletter, which will be all the news I collect for the month with some, I always have a comment, if you know what I mean, after I read something. So,
not you, Terry.
So, and hopefully I'll unearth some good stuff for people. That was pretty popular when I was doing it for the dojo.
Dave just surfaced a article written back in 2006 at the Stepforth blog about certification programs, one of which was being offered by SEO pros. In it, you were going to, yourself, Dan Fees, Scotty Claiborne, CJ Newton, and that was the cast that you'd lined up.
That was for what would have been like the first SEO Institute. It was basically a bunch of people from I Help You Forum. We were going to get together and do like a small conference. Start an institute.
There's a lot of background stuff. This might be a little bit inside baseball for the listeners, but there's a lot of initiatives that get started and tried in the SEO world and don't actually happen. But tons of people do tons of unrecognized work on initiatives that start off strong and then, for whatever reason, either the change of the course of the industry changes or another mousetrap comes along that does it a different way. How hard is it to organize in the SEO community when you're looking at new initiatives at a new conference or a certification program or what have you?
Really, if it doesn't build their business, most of them aren't gonna.
And most people just aren't going to invest the time or invest the energy.
No, I don't think so.
I think of how many times people tried to bring certification to SEO and run up against a wall of indifference or a wall of resistance or a wall of people going, hey, man, that's impossible.
The wall of resistance is heavy because for most SEOs, it's not in their best interest to have to prove what they know.
Well, there are some who argue that certification introduces like liability concerns now that it's on paper. This is how it's supposed
Why,
to be.
That you prove that you actually know what you're doing? That could be a liability.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Or that result.
That's a straw man's
Or that result you can vary. And if it's on paper, the client expects to be able to hold you to it.
Like, here's the thing. When we started to do it, and this would have been back in a long time ago.
In 2006.
Dan and I, basically, we came to the conclusion that, there are lots of things that you could put into a certification for SEO. For instance, anything to do with technical SEO, you could write a test for it and certify that somebody knew what the hell they were doing with technical SEO.
Okay.
Where it gets iffy is the secret sauce, i.e. link building. You cannot certify link building.
You can get certified after. Joking.
The only way to really judge link building in is it sustainable and did it raise ranks? That's it. Like, to me, like, how else do you tell? Because nobody knows what Google's doing with links, even followed links. If you ask a lot of people, if it's got a no follow on it, it's useless. Well, you know what I say to them? You've had your head up here for too long because Google is not going to let SEOs decide the link graph. Google is going to decide the link graph.
So you can slap a no follow on that link and Google might just ignore it. Might follow it, might value it anyway.
It might not follow it, but it still might count as towards your link equity.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. I'm in no way disbelieving you in any way. I'm not.
Well, I don't care either way, actually.
Well, because we're on the radio, dude. I'm trying to shut up.
Oh, okay.
What I'm trying to say is you can't quantify the statement. And that's
nobody can. And
that's a problem for SEO. That's what I'm trying to get at.
No, it's not. Because either way, if I'm right or wrong, what does it really hurt? What is the negative to saying, okay, if Google says no follow, right, means nothing, means they aren't going to give it any link equity, right? Why should you be the thing is, people looked at links as only being about the amount of equity that one site passed to another, right? Number one, that what's wrong with that is a site that could be PR1 today could be 7. 5 years down the road, and a PR7 today could be PR1 tomorrow.
Okay, so absolutely.
Buying or you know, doing your link development that way was a sucker's bet, right? By looking at PageRank. I have never ever used PageRank as a metric in SEO.
In fact,
I didn't even really start to build or try and develop links until I started working with David at the dojo. Before that, I always had no problem just adding pages and content to a website, promoting those pages and getting them to rank. But about that time is when links became everything and everybody was, you know, you had to do that. But that has, you know, over time, in my opinion, links are not as important as they were 5 years ago or even 2 years ago.
We are down to our last 2 minutes, so I can't preface. I can't preface any questions. I just got to shoot rapid fire at you. Links aren't as important as they were 2 years ago. What's risen in prominence?
What's risen in prominence?
Yeah.
Everything has lost because they add more factors. The pie's only so big. You can only divide it so much. So every time they add new ranking factors, links become less important.
Okay, last question, I'm afraid, and then I got 100 more for you. You've been talking about getting a conference together for the Toronto area. Your plans obviously got shot sideways with COVID-19. Are you still holding on to them, though? Like, you see something?
Oh, yeah, definitely. SEO Pros was resurrected partially to work with people that are going to be at the conference. So I wanted to keep them in touch. And, I'll probably be doing stuff for the conference probably next year, early next year, starting to work up to next August.
You know what? I think you got a whole world of crossed fingers on that one. It would be lovely to see to see people coming back into.
If I ain't having one, no one is.
It's probably very true.
That's the way. Well, then too, it's Toronto, so they may never let anybody into the city again. Who knows?
We are a fairly safe oasis, nevertheless. Okay, Terry Van Horn, we are, I'm afraid we've gone full clock. We're out of time, but man, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Friends, you have been listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm on the 17th of July, 2020. As I said, I've been saying also, week 20 of the COVID lockdown. COVID's real. It's the COVID denialism is idiotic. We've been saying this for 20 weeks now. Wash your hands. Wear a mask to control the spread of of your breath. Wash your hands to get it off your hands. Wash with soap to pierce the lipid and get at the molecule. Stay safe. Be kind to each other. Rank well. We will talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.